that is the only God, the one that has brought new things into your life, the one that's giving you new glory, new anointing, new joy. He has added a new day to your life, a new age. Glorify him. The one that gives you a new means, new choices, new signs and wonders in your life, new miracles, new methods. This morning he has brought before you new thanksgivings, new blood, new brain, new finances. He has opened new doors before us. Father, we want to thank you. We thank you for the new souls that you have added to your church. Thank you for new appetite for prayers. Thank you for new opportunities to forgive. Thank you for the Sunday school of this morning. Thank you for the word that came to us this morning at the workers' meeting. Thank you for the new spirit to serve you. Thank you for the new blessings that you have rained upon our lives. Thank you for new favors. Thank you, Lord, for new roots. We are thanking you for new eyes, new insights, new orientations, new skills, Father. Thank you for new health, new name. Thank you for everything that is new in our lives. New doors that have opened unto us. Thank you for new possessions, new peace, new money, new currencies, new beginnings, new open doors, and new rain. Thank you for the showers of blessings. Glory and honor to your name. Thank you, Lord, for the new year that is approaching. For we know we shall succeed, we shall see it, and it shall be well with us in it. For we know we will not bury anybody before the year ends, we will not bury anybody in the new year. For we know, O Lord, that your power will uphold us. Thank you, Father. Lord, as we continue with your word this morning, do something new in our lives. Deposit new wine into our mind in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, the Almighty Father is my Father. Yes. Genesis 17, chapter 1. Genesis 17, chapter 1. Very short message, and I gave it the title, The Almighty God. And when Abraham was 99 years old and nine, 90 years and old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Amen. The spirit of perfectness God will give unto each and every one of us in the mighty name of Jesus. The spirit of error will be a thing of the past in our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. As God begins to do new things in our lives, we begin to realize that it's the Almighty God. And forever and ever, we will be praising for that in the name of Jesus. Say a better amen. I have read this passage several times, but yesterday I went over it again and I began to think. No one tells a 99-year-old man who is married to an 89-year-old woman, I will make you a father of many nations. Remember, they've been barren. So this just doesn't make sense in the circle of human beings. And definitely it will be classified as a joke. So people will think it's a joke. At best, you'll be thinking it's a joke. Yet in Genesis 17, 4 to 6, this is exactly how God put it. As for me, behold, My covenant is with you and you shall be a father of many nations. Are you listening? No longer shall your name be called Abraham, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly faithful, fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. At 99. But that's the Almighty God. That's the Almighty God. It's not only Abraham that things like this have happened to. Read further, do your research, go further in the Bible. You will encounter the case of Moses. You know, Moses has had the story. He was trained in Egypt, in the royal palace. He speaks Egyptian language, or he spoke now, it's gone. He spoke his Egyptian language with a royal accent. You know, his mother has told him the story. He believed he's going to be the deliverer of Israelites. But he wanted to do it his own way. He was probably waiting for the time he would take over the throne as a pharaoh of Egypt, and then he will declare them free. But even before that happens, you know, he was already committed to freeing them. And that was why he was able to do justice to that Egyptian trying to oppress the Israelites on the streets of Cairo. I don't know whether Cairo was the capital then, as he was passing. And he thought everything was settled. They would learn their lesson from there. But even among his people, the so-called Israel, they were ready to point him out. And so, not far off, maybe about a week later, passing on as a royal priest, as a prince now, he discovered that two people who are Israelites were fighting themselves, and he was trying to make peace. You know? We all know the story, and that was how, you know, he left Egypt. Somebody was to be a pharaoh and a deliverer of his people, was now just a shepherd. And for 40 years, he has forgotten the dream. The case of Abraham is still okay. At least Abraham was called at 76 or so, or 75. You know, it was at 86, and God promised him also. So at 86, about 11 years after, you know, he did something in Sarah and Sarah. They look at it that age is telling on me. It's no more. I, as a woman, can't bear any child for you again. And so that this promise of God can come to pass, let us do it this way. You know? And we all know the story. So 11 years. Now, compare that to Moses. 40 years. He has forgotten. He has become a shepherd. Just roaming about in the desert when suddenly he encountered God. You encounter God as you go your way in the mighty name of Jesus. In everything you do in all the days of your life, you will encounter God in the name of Jesus. So in all these statements, God used the strongest doubt-eliminating word. I will. I have. He did not say, I might, or if possible. His words did not connote any weakness or inability to perform what he said. As far as God was concerned, it was done. Someone might ask, why was God so sure of what he was going to do? Why was God so sure of what he was saying? The answer is very simple. Because he is God. He is the Almighty. The one that can do all things. The one that has no impossibility in his dictionary. His answer. He answers to no one. Psalm 62 verse 11. Psalm 16:11. God has spoken once. Twice have I heard this. That power belongs to who? To God. Power does not belong to any man. You know, before we came in this morning, I was sharing the life of my story with the minister. And one of our mother was saying, do you even know whether those things that you think is a big thing has happened to you that time? You might not even be where you are today. It was this issue of forgiveness or no forgiveness. You know. Praise the Lord. This means that God's word was not only powerful, they also reverberate. To avoid any doubts about what he is saying, there were many prophets before Jesus came. And one of the common phrases you hear from the prophet is, thus says the Lord. Is that not so? So when Jesus came, the Pharisees and Sadducees and other religious leaders expect to hear him speak in the same manner. But Jesus didn't. He has his own style. He will say, verily, verily, I say unto you. So this was too strong for the religious leaders and was one of the reasons they accused him of blasphemy and they hated him. Who is Jesus? God. No? The prophets were his prophets. So when those ones were speaking, they would say, thus says the Lord. But when Jesus now came, he would say, you have heard how you were told. If you read Matthew chapter 5, 6, 7, Sermon on the Mount. Same thing, Luke chapter 5, 6, 7. You have heard how you are told by the prophets of the whole that you shall not commit adultery. But I say unto you, and the whole thing. And they begin to say, who is this one? May God open our eyes. We will see for better in the name of Jesus. So what is the dictionary definition of the Almighty? Say, having complete power, omnipotent, supreme, preeminent. This connotes ability to do anything, including what our brains cannot fathom. In the battle of supremacy between Elijah, you remember the story, and the prophets of Baal, God left zero doubt as to who was supreme. You know, remember that battle? You know. The prophet of Baal, 450 of them versus Elijah. And the people were there as spectators. They wanted to choose who actually is God. At the end of the day, the Almighty God showed himself, and there was no doubt about it. Every doubt concerning God in your life will be erased in the mighty name of Jesus. So while Baal's prophets cried to their God from morning till evening, and even cut themselves with knives, thereby sacrificing their blood, nothing happened. Knowing that their God was deaf, dumb, absolute nothing, and not worth of existence of any mention. Elijah mocked Baal's prophet, encouraged them to cry more, just in case Baal was on a trip, or busy, or asleep, or needed to be woken up. As you would expect, still, nothing happened. Elijah prepared the altar of the Lord and asked the people to pour water into it three times to be sure that no one expected fire to even spark, let alone consuming the sacrifice. But it did, consuming stones with it. And it was a great show of power. That is the God that we serve. The God that can do all things. The Almighty God. The one that cannot be questioned. You cannot ask him, God, why did you do this? No. He does as he likes. He does as he pleases. I pray that our name will be in his good book in the mighty name of Jesus. Yeah. Now, don't let us go far. Let's recall what happened in the country recently, in the U.S. Over the fight, over the confirmation of the Supreme Court nominee, Judge Kavanaugh. You know how the division among the people was so strong, So scary. All because a human being was being appointed to a court. A court whose decision could be overturned or vacated in the future if the law of the land changes. No? The Supreme Court does not make the laws, you know that. Or if the people change their minds. What if all that energy is geared towards making God to sit upon the throne of our hearts and directing the affairs of our lives and our nations? Because when he makes a decision, it is final. No one can change it. God is the only supreme being. He's the maker of the law. His decisions cannot be changed or challenged. His decision cannot be vacated. His decision cannot be appealed. He's the final of all finals. And when the final of all the finals speaks, you should be assured that you are in the right hand. I pray you will not veer away from God's way in the mighty name of Jesus. Romans 8:31 said, if God be for us, who can be against us? So I've been destined to be great. 1 million devils cannot stop you. Please, let us know our rightful position in the scheme of things of God. Many of us do not know. And that is why we fear witches, we fear wizards, we fear people. People that you can rise against with just one prayer point. You know, I was once in unemployment. You know, and this old man, you know, about 87 that time, will tell you, I will boast to you that, look, before this agency you are working for came into this building or bought this building, I have been here as the building manager of the former owner of this building. Okay? That agency has been there for almost 50 years. But he will tell you that before that agency, you know, came in, he has been there. So I took up a position to counsel these mentally challenged individuals. And you know, most of the things they won't do. You just have to, you know. So the man thought I was not doing my work. Because when these mentally challenged people are doing the little work you ask them to do, you are not there with them. He said, I'm always sitting in my office. He challenged me once or twice, and I told him, look, I'm not here as a cleaner. Let that one sink into your head. I am here as a supervisor of these guys. I tell them what to do. They go out and they do it. When they finish doing it, I go inspect what they have done. If they have not done it well, I send them back. He said, no, you have to stay with them. You have to do this. I said, go and sit down. I don't have time for you. But unfortunately, the leadership of that agency, you know, is the leadership that listen to hearsay. How is that new guy doing? You know. And this woman, this old man, we also have an old president. The president was about 90 years that time. Man, about 87. So the two old people will walk themselves. When the president comes in the morning, the old man, who is the chairman of the building, we go down to bring her up. And the process is, they will be talking. They will be speaking. They will be telling them who was late in doing his job. Who did not complete his job before he left the computer room the previous day. You know, and Mama will keep everything. So my own is that I'm not always outside with the boys to sweep with them when they are sweeping. I told you, though. If my people in Nigeria got to know that I'm using their degree to sweep the floor in America, they will withdraw it. So don't. So he will tell Mama all those stories. So at the stage, I became fed up. I said, you know what? I'm going to leave this job. There was also a pastor friend I discussed with. And the man said, you want to leave the job? What is wrong with you? Because somebody is reporting you to somebody. Don't you have a God that is above all those ones? You know, that was when I came to my senses to tell the truth. That was when I came to my senses. I will now leave this job, I say, because one 87-year-old man complained about me to the president. So instead of being fired, just one vigil, I went to report the man to God. Just one night vigil. I didn't, that time, the rooms are not even enough in the house to have a prayer room. Our prayer room is the garage. I remember that night I went into the garage. I said, God, if you still want me to leave, to do this job, this man must leave me alone. And I reported him to God. Just in that dream, after the prayer, I discovered that he was trying to attack me, and in the process, his two hands were removed while he was struggling to attack me and push me out of the agency in the building. He lost his two hands. Then I woke up. That was when I realized that we have a God that is above all things. What is that situation? Bring it to. Our problem is that we don't have confidence in ourselves. I have noticed that. We don't even have confidence in the prayers we pray. You know, our brother was telling us this morning about the power in our tongue. That tongue that God has given us is very powerful. Speak what you want. Talk to God about it. Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against God? Who can be against us? We have the King of Kings on our side. Why should any of us worry? The omnipotent God is our Father. What can man do to us? Psalm 118:6. The omnipotent God is our Father. What can anyone do to us? The lions had no power over Daniel because God pushed them out. The fire had no effect over those three Hebrew boys because God descended into the fire. The iron chains fell off Peter's hands and legs because God sent his angels to disable them. Even the all-powerful iron gates opened without any prompting because they felt the presence of God's power. Read that one, Acts of Apostles 12, 7 to 10. You see there. When all this thing was happening, Peter thought he was what? He was dreaming. Our God is all-powerful. Look at what happened in the case of David. He said, God prepared a table before me in the presence of my word to show those enemies that they were nothing. They were nothing. The Bible says, where the word of a king is, there is what? There's power. Our God is the King of Kings. So where his word is, there's what? There's power. And who may say unto him, what are you doing? Nobody. Ecclesiastes 8:4. Read it there. Nobody. Nobody. You can't question him. There was that Yoruba song, you know, by that popular singer. I can't remember. Gospel singer. Said, this God cannot be questioned. You can't ask God, why did you behave this way? No. Our God is the King of Kings. And the question this morning is that, do you know him? Do you know him? If you haven't, if you don't know him, as much as you do so today, because you are already missing too much. Surrender your life to Jesus, and you will never be the same again. What is that problem? Bring it to Jesus. Surrender it. Talk to him, and leave the rest to God. And that is why, when issues happen, I always advise people, God has said it. I know you are, in this case, you are not You are not guilty. You are not the guilty part. And the natural thing is for you to want to take vengeance. But God said, my is what? Let him fight for you. Eh? I told a friend of mine, you know, a friend's wife, when she was complaining that I think she's 52 years old or so, around that age, and that a 60-year-old woman was trying to snatch her husband away from her. Eh? 60-year-old woman, and you are 52. And she began to fight. She wanted to be using her brain. You can't, this is not a war you win. It's not a physical war. Eh? Won't you be ashamed at the end of the day when you fight this war and you lose it? And then you begin to tell people that it was a 60-year-old woman that's not away your husband. Not even a young... So these are words that you just leave in the hand of God and let God fight for you. God will fight for you in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's bow down our heads this morning. In which area do you want God to fight for you? This morning we are talking about forgiveness. I wasn't part of it, but by the grace of God, we will continue next week on this issue of forgiveness. I have told the Sunday school coordinator so that we don't call people up, because I could see that many people have a lot of things, particularly teenagers, questions that they want to ask. Let us continue so that we start a new Sunday school in the first month of November. In which area of your life have you been fighting a futile battle because you did not realize that God is almighty? Give it to him this morning. We have heard the story of Jehoshaphat several times. He won that war without swinging a single sword, because he realized that God can fight the battle for him. You've heard the story of the Israelites when they arrived at the borders of Jericho and the gates would not let them in. They handed over the battle to God. The battle was of the Lord. It is possible, it is true, there are wizards, there are witches, there are wizards, there are evil spirits. Jesus Christ himself acknowledged this. But we have a God that has power over these ones. Let's believe in ourselves. Let's believe in our prayers this morning. Talk to God. Be sincere. Discuss with him. There are some areas we have been fighting some battles on our own. Battles that we cannot win. But there is a warrior that cannot be conquered. We have a king that cannot be dethroned. It is that king and that warrior that I want you to hand over this situation to this morning. And tell him that we serve him. Are you being challenged in your health? Hand that health issue to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords this morning. The one that makes you whole. The one that creates you. The one that says, I am. The one that turns everything new. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. During the Sunday school this morning, one of our elders raised this issue. The Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Went on, going, and said, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It's a condition. We are going to pray. Father, give me the grace to forgive. The grace to move ahead anew. Never have to have the spirit of vengeance. Because this spirit denies us of so many breakthroughs. When we refuse to forgive. When we hold bitterness in our hearts. I receive the anointing and the grace to forgive so that I can feel the almightiness of God in my life. Receive that grace this morning in the name of Jesus. And I want to love you, God. Lord, I thank you. I worship you. Mighty God you are. The one that sits in heaven. You use the earth as your footstool. Father, Lord, we want to thank you. The Almighty. You told Abraham at 99 that you will make him father of many nations. Kings will come out of his loin, and you made it to come to pass. Do you know that Sarah that doubted and did not believe God has Isaac, but did not live to see the grandchildren? Abraham not only saw the grandchildren, do you realize he has another wife after Sarah died? And that wife has five other children. The Midian is one of them. And that's why we have the Midianites. And all other nations. Just as God promised that kings will come out of him. Do you know the lineage of Abraham was Solomon? The greatest king that ever lived? David was also of him. That is God. Father, your word will come new in my life every day in the name that's above every other name. And if you can do it in the life of Abraham, you will do it in my life. Every challenge that I'm facing, I commit into your hand today because you are the Almighty God, the self-existing God, that Jehovah, the one that cannot be questioned. You have been even before heaven and earth were created. That is why you remain a mystery. That is why people cannot even conform. Our brain cannot even. I don't know. It is you that we have come to meet this morning, and we bless your holy name. Father, we confess that you are God. And nothing is impossible for you. Therefore, limitations in my life will give way. Limitations in your life will give way. In the mighty name of Jesus. No matter the limitation. Particularly those ones that are spiritual. They give way today. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Quickly, let's take our offering.